It took a whole half hour to get here. And then this one,
this is the slow. So we're going to call the lunch meeting to order, 6:30 p.m. We take a look at our agenda we have. Our first item is roll call. Look around me, I believe that all the committee members are here. We have our one in governance, Andrew Seven.
No, two. Two on.
So we are complete, both in governance and both supervisors are complete. I would assume we've all had a chance to take a look at the previous meeting, the minutes of the previous meeting, and we entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to approve. Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes are approved. Next item we have on our listing here is chairman, committee members, supervisors, chief and governance comments. I don't have anything to speak of presently made as the meeting goes on here. So I'll ask any supervisors if they have any comments they would like to make before the meeting begins.
The only comment I'd like to make is I obviously took the long way, but S is looking really good, and traffic seems to be flowing really nicely. So great job on the highways. I actually took MU.
Much better than Highway 50. That was a much better choice.
Oh, yeah, but it took me longer. So. But thank you.
Anything else, Supervisor Belsky? Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thank you. I was just wondering if we have any progress on the map of all the construction going on throughout the county?
Yes, we do. I completely forgot to send them to you. But I think I will need to update it one more time because it's a very fluid map. Things keep changing. So, yeah, I did it some time back, but I didn't get a chance to really complete it. And then so many things got changed, and so I'll have to do that again.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Any other supervisors? Supervisor
Murphy. I have been involved with a new group of veterans. It's individuals from veteran service organizations. We're in the midst of trying to find ways to attract and bring on younger members, younger veterans, to join into these veteran service organizations. So. We are going to be having a fair of some sort, not like a job fair, but more like games and food and stuff like that. Tentatively on the 19th of September at the Moose Lodge. Again, it's tentative because we're still trying to move a lot of pieces together, but just wanted to put that out for folks. If you know younger veterans, all veterans are welcome to it, but we're seeking younger veterans to try to get involved because, like every other service organization in the country, we're having a hard time finding the younger people to be involved.
That's the 19th?
It is September, which I think is a Sunday. So just put that on your radars, and I'll give updates as we get closer.
Is there a proposed start time for that?
Not yet.
Okay.
You gotta send out an email.
Mm-hmm.
Any other supervisors' comments? Seeing none, supervisors' comments. Let's ask youth and governance. Any comments from youth and governance?
I currently don't have any.
I have nothing. Do you have any report you'd like to share with us about your baseball experience? And your
what would you like to talk about?
Well, we won the state title for Division 3.
St. Joe's High School.
St. Joe's High School.
That's congratulations.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
And he was the pitcher who threw the three hitter in the semifinal game, too. So.
Nice.
Wow.
Excellent.
So you got baseball cards there?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, I do, actually, from when we went to the state for a little bit.
All right, let me know. I'll buy some, and I want your autograph.
Yeah. Thank you for those comments. We're on to item number five, and that is citizens' comments. Are there any citizens' comments that I'd like to speak to? So we have 5 minutes to address our committee this evening. Seeing none, citizens' comments are closed. I believe we're on to division reports, updates, and requested actions. First on our agenda this evening for this golf division, Mr. Dan Dreyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our courses are extremely busy when the weather permits, and staff continues to work hard to ensure that our operations provide a safe guest experience. Our email database, I'm happy to report, is over 28,000 people right now. So, yeah, we're really working hard on gaining those, and that's really pushing our participation. So, in your packet was the wastewater treatment plant compliance maintenance annual report. It was for Brightondale Links, the golf course, and the parks. And I'm happy to report that we've received straight A's on this report. So it needs to be brought to this committee just so that you are aware of it. Our junior clinics have been going great. We have over 200 people. Brightondale has kind of split off a little bit and added junior clinics on Monday morning and Wednesday evening, and we still have the Wednesday morning one there, and then we have our Wednesday Thursday one at Petrifying Springs. We also have a week-long camp going on this week, plus we have the two PGA Junior League teams that are playing well. So it's great having, you know, over 200 people, and this is all supported by our County Executive Cup. So that's awesome. Our juniors are learning posture, grip, and alignment of the golf swing, and along with all the fundamentals, rules, and etiquette. And so it's a great opportunity to get to teach them, but also have them play our golf courses. So we also have many adults that are taking lessons with the influx of players last year. A lot of people are trying to get better. So, you know, our teaching staff is very, very busy this year. Equipment fitting has been going well. We had a TaylorMade event, and we also had our mega club sale. And we sold over $9,000 worth of clubs on those 2 days, so it was really a good event. Both of them really went well, and so we're going to repeat that mega club sale, and we also have a Callaway event that's on the 17th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So other events that are coming up, our annual Brewfest. You know, this is a new event for us. We charge $100 per player. There's going to be samples of beer out there from our local breweries, and CJW, our distributor, is bringing a bunch of different, and Lakefront Brewery are bringing different samples, and this thing sold out so quickly. Way, way faster than almost any other event that we had. So really looking forward to that. And right. Yeah, and we're you know, think that there's something that we could expand on this for possibly the future years. We also have our premier Kenosha County Open. It's going to be a great event. We're going to start at Strawberry Creek and play the Friday there, and then Saturday we're going to play the Blue Spruce, and then Sunday we're going to play the White Birch. There's over $4,000 in this prize pool. It's 3 days of competitive golf. It's totally different than, you know, any other event that we have. Most of our events are scrambles, or but this is all individual tournament play, you know, so it's a little harder to fill up, but we're really you know, excited about it, because it does kind of crown the best golfer in the southeast Wisconsin, northern Illinois area. It's open to anybody to play, and there's $1,000 for first place if, for the golf professionals, or $750 is the limit for amateurs in that tournament. So should help participation in that one. And then happy to announce today I got an email from Golf Day. We were out of 53 municipal courses in the state. Brightondale was ranked number 4, right behind Brown Deer, Pleasant View, and Washington County. You know, so 3 great golf courses, and then Brightondale was 4th, and Petrifying Springs was 10th out of 53 municipal golf courses in the state. So very happy to tell you about that. And then the projects, you know, we're focused on customer service. We're focused on course improvements. One of the projects that we completed this last month is we did get the 2 outdoor bathrooms installed, the concrete ones that are like bomb shelters out there. So, you know, they said it's the only thing that kept standing in Joplin when the tornadoes went through there. So they're really nice, and hopefully they'll give us many years of service. So everything's going good in golf.
That's a great report. Congratulations on the 4th best in state.
Thank you.
Would University Ridge qualify as a public course as well?
No, it doesn't. No, it's not owned by a municipality. It's owned by the university. So.
Questions or comments from Mr. Dreyer?
I think it's awesome that we're 4th and 10th. I'd love to see your list of what would it take for us to be 1st and 2nd.
Okay. Good for the budget.
Seriously.
It's coming down the pipe.
It'll take a couple more brew fests.
Yeah.
Anything else, Supervisor Berg? Supervisor Udo?
Yeah, I just have a question on the equipment, club fitting. We sold just over 9,000. What's the net profit of the 9,000, roughly?
There's not as much profit on clubs as there is on like food and beverage or something like that, but we try to get at least 20% to 30% markup on everything that we sell. And you know, we do take trade-ins, and a lot of times, just like everybody knows about trade-in cars, you know, you don't get the full value, and then we try to resell the trade-ins, so we try to get you know, additional revenues from all the trade-ins that we take.
Okay, so somewhere between 20% and 30%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions or comments from Mr. Dreyer? I've got a question on Brightondale and water treatment. I know in the past we've taken samples for analyzation, routine basis, particularly Burlington or something like that. What's the status with it? Are we still doing that?
No, Burlington stopped doing that. So we actually have a service now that is not any more expensive, that's coming to pick it up for us 3 times a week during the summer, and then once a week in the off season.
What else was you going to ask? Oh, in the Kenosha County Open, how many flights will there be in that particular?
There's 4 flights. Like I said, with the championship flight, if it's a professional that wins, they get $1,000. If it's an amateur that wins, they get $750 in a gift card. And then A, B, and C flight each get $500 for winning their flight in a gift card. You know, so we had sponsorship from Strixon that gave us $2,500 to you know, put toward those prizes, and then the rest comes from the entry fees.
Thank you for your report.
No question.
Seeing none, we'll move on to facilities, divisions, operations.
Three projects to report on. All 3 are starting to wind down. First one is KCAB heat pump replacement project, phase 3. That project is about 90% complete and has progressed as expected. Second project is KCDC exterior sealant replacement project. Project sealant work is substantially done, and there's about 2 weeks of painting that remains on that project. Third one is at KCDC also, the piping coupling replacement phase 2 project. The project is substantially complete. Final walkthrough and closeout documents are scheduled for this Wednesday. That's my report.
Any question on these 3 items? They've been on our agenda quite a few times before. Will they be finished up conceivably? Let's just go on the list here. Heat pump will expect to be finished up this month?
Yep.
Finished July. Okay. KCDC exterior?
Same thing.
July. AC/DC piping and coupling.
Same thing.
In July.
Yep. Yeah, next month I should be saying they are complete.
Questions for Mr. Schrantz, Rose Rodriguez.
Dave, did all these projects come in at what they were bid at?
At or below.
Great, thank you.
Supervisor Nudo.
Well, pretty much I was going to ask the same thing, which is just a little bit more as the KCDC. I believe so it was 200,000 and it came in at 136. So roughly, $64,000 below.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing, well, close to the same thing about the piping, estimated at 180, and it came in at 136 also, I believe.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
So which, it seems like almost every work comes about a 20% or a little better than that, below what was projected. It seems like there is a good pattern that we're seeing at that time. I know I talked about it at the last couple of meetings, but it seems, believe me, it seems strange, especially when everything is coming up or prices are going up and the bids coming in lower, which it's great, but it makes me wonder why.
So I would say this, Mike, we can get the full bid tabulation, so he sees all the bids. So we got, that's low bid, Supervisor Nudo, so other bids, and I don't remember what they were because this is a few months back now, but some of that was fortunate from a timing standpoint. As you'll see in Frank's report that I'm going to cover tonight, it's more reflective of kind of the current market conditions, because this bid was just done in the last, I think it was early June. Yeah, early June those bids came in, and it was a $500,000 higher than what we had estimated the cost to be. So. Yeah, so now it's some of the stuff that we're seeing now is coming in, depending, the road projects are still pretty good because it's more civil and it's not as material intensive, but the building related projects, most of them are starting to come in anywhere from 20 plus percent higher, let's say. And so that's why the building stuff now, we're starting to see the full impacts of all the material pricing and availability issues that are going on. That HVAC project that we'll talk about in a little bit, I'll get into some of the detail on that and some of the things we're struggling with now to figure out how we can do it, if we can do it. So
okay, maybe I'll make a comment when we get to that point also. But for now, it looks like we have what, about 64,000 and about 44,000, you know, about a little over 100,000. Any idea on what we're going to be doing with the money, or maybe, and we can talk when you talk about Frank's project there, put this money towards that, or what's going to happen with this money? I mean, it seems like we don't really know what's going to happen with what happens with the money saved, you know, let's call it a saving. It seems like we don't have any control over it, or we don't even know where it goes.
So, last year, I gave a report that went back 10 years telling exactly when we asked for more money for projects, because we can't do anything with the money without coming to you to ask you what to spend it on. We can't do that.
I thought it was just with a letter sent to finance and executive.
That's not the way it works.
If I'm not, I apologize. And maybe you and I can sit together so you can get me straight on that, you know. Because I thought it was said that it goes, the county executive just sends a letter to the finance committee and he's got to keep the money in the same division, I don't know if it's the right thing, or pretty much like if this money is saved on highway or whatever, the money can be used for highway projects. But really, we don't vote, you know, the board doesn't vote.
So there is different levels of it, and Jim knows that better than anybody, but it probably would be best, actually, yeah, if you guys can get together.
Yeah, I appreciate
that. He can walk
you
through, because there's different categories.
Sure, I appreciate
that. But at the end
that.
Of the day, this money that Mike's talking about that's left over, we don't. If we don't have an emergency or something that comes up that makes sense that we need to scrape some money together so we can do something, that money just stays in there and it rolls, carries over to the next, into the general fund, not the general fund because it's bonded money, but Jim can explain it better than I can.
Okay.
Bottom line is it doesn't get used, and the only time we try to scrape it together is if all of a sudden something pops up that we didn't plan for and we got to address it, then we'll look for ways to accumulate that money to do that.
Okay.
And then we come to the committee and explain. So.
Okay.
Supervisor Burke.
In reference to the comment about it being strange, when were the KCDC projects brought forward? When were they proposed?
Bid.
Yes.
So bids for these, Mike, I know we worked on the specs, I think, late last year, so I think
these
were bid early.
I think they were probably bid out probably late winter, early spring,
so
somewhere in that time.
I didn't get to the exact dates, but it probably would have been either November, December, January, February, late last year, early this year is when those were probably bid. Whereas this one got bid because it was an extremely complicated project, and the bid specifications are extremely detailed. It's a big project, and it's on top of the detention center, so in addition to the complexities of the HVAC and the controls associated with that, you also got to deal with the secure access to the building, and you have to build all that into the specifications so that the contractor knows what he's really got to bid on. He can't just walk in a building with his crew and start having at it. There's all kinds of processes that have to be incorporated into their bid documents. So this one went out, I want to say it was either very late May or early June, and that's when these bids came back in. They've been working on it the last month, kind of evaluating the bids. Low bid was Southport. There was three bids, Southport, Lee, and Martin Peterson. And what tells me that the bid specifications were really well done, because as complicated as the project was, there was $100,000 that separated the three bidders on a $2.1 million project. So everybody looked at the specs and was able to really kind of fine-tune their bids, because there was usually on a bid that size, it's not unusual to see $500,000 separating the three bidders. This was only $100,000, so the specs were well done. Southport's the low bidder, and well, I'm kind of getting into it, but I'll explain it more when we get to it.
So budget time, we go into the budgets with the assumption of what these are going to cost.
Right. We work with experts
and then,
that
and
give us estimates.
And then we bond for that.
Right.
And then we bid for that afterwards.
Correct.
Put the bid out for that
Can't
afterwards.
Bid
so,
until the money's approved.
Right.
Yep.
My concern is that a pattern that I'm seeing is that if we're under bid, we want to know where the money's at. If we're over bid, we're fighting you why we're over bid, why we're over the cost for the bid. At what point are we going to, you know, it's good to have these guys, you know, teach us and know what's going on about this, but we can't fight with them about everything. That's all I got to say.
Anything further, Supervisor Bird?
I would like just to answer one thing. I'm not fighting them on this. I'm just asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I want to know where the money's going. I mean, I'm glad they came out lower. I know I see a pattern. I did not see it, and maybe I did not see it, and that's why I say when Jim said it, I'll sit down with Jim and look
at
it. I want to know where the money's going. I'm not accusing anybody of anything, you know, but I just want to know. And to me, it seems apparent, because just in the last 3 or 4 months, we came up, what, $400,000 less than what was projected. Well, it's great. If that's the way it is, it's great. But I don't know why, and I want to know. So I'm just asking questions. I'm not saying anything. But it seems every time I ask a question, some supervisors, whether it's here in the committee or at the board meeting, they try to turn around that I'm trying to be after somebody. That's not the case. If I'm against someone, I'm never worried. I'll just come up and say what I'm thinking. So I just wanted to make that clear, because it seemed like every time I ask a question, I'm accused that I'm against veterans because I don't want to prove $10,000 on something or doing that. That's not fair. So let's keep it fair, please.
Well, in the past, when you've had questions about budget, you've always put it in writing. I think that's a very good thing to do. For all of us here in this committee, if we have questions, we have department heads respond, you know, Ray respond. And when it comes to finance, Jim Cuffer, he's the chief financial officer for Public Works. So if you have questions, direct them to him. And again, I think the policy putting that in writing is wise. That way we can always reflect upon and go back as
necessary. We can do that, and I can sit with you and run you through all these different scenarios. And so it can be a little complicated.
Right. And to add to the point about if the jobs come in as overbid, which they have in this construction climate where we see labor prices rising significantly, material prices even more so, we just don't do the work. Those jobs, we're just not doing it. It's too expensive.
Say no. So shut down. Either have to rebid it or change the specs or something. But you can't accept, if we don't have the money, we can't accept a bid on something that's over the budget.
Questions for Reza Reeves?
Yeah, I don't know if, Mike, you're the best person to answer this or if we wait till the next one. KCAD building, where are we at with the remaining windows and doors?
That's next on the agenda. But before we close out, Mr. Mike Schramm, are there any questions on this particular phase of the report? Seeing none, we thank you, Mr. Mike. We'll see you next month.
Thank you.
And it is now Mr. Martinelli, who is actually Ray.
Yes. So the first item is the one Supervisor Rodriguez just brought up, KCAD Molinaro security modifications. Mainly for the two youth and governance. So basically there was a number of things that resulted from the civic unrest last year, and we took a look at some of the buildings that needed to be repaired as a result of that civic unrest, and also looked at some security enhancements that we could do. In fact, we spent some time with your dad over at Ruther, because some of the stuff that they had on the glass there worked actually very well to prevent folks from getting into the building, even though they tried their darndest. And some of that is what we're going to be doing at the first item we talked about, or I've got listed, is KCAB, PSB, and Courthouse, the window and door replacements. Courthouse has been completely done. There isn't any additional protective film on those windows yet. The judges wanted us to put that stuff on as we were still looking at the options, but they had to have it on before the initial appearance of the Rittenhouse situation in order to have the courthouse not be prejudiced towards that case or against it. So we rushed to get that stuff in. That's in place. We're still looking at the possibility of putting a protective film on those windows as well. But for the PSB, for KCAB, and Molinaro.
Could you not use acronyms?
I'm sorry, sure. So Kenosha County Administration Building, that's the administration building that's directly west of the courthouse. The PSB is the public safety building. That's the one directly north of the KCAB building. And then the courthouse building is pretty evident. That's right across from Civic Park, where pretty much everything took place last summer. And so we had to work with, just actually got it resolved in the last day or so with the insurance folks, finance, and purchasing, to be able to award the contract to Berglund Construction, which we're glad they were a little bitter. They were the ones that did the actual restoration of the exterior on the courthouse. So this is a really good contractor. They're gonna do the window and steel replacement for what was damaged on KCAB. And with the PSB, they're going to work actually with a local contractor to do some of that. They're actually going to start that work in September. That's when all the materials should be in. The long lead items are the big windows that are on the KCAB building. It has they're very large storefront type windows. If you've seen, it's right on 56. So if you get a chance, right, the main road that runs in front of the courthouse and the administration building is 56th Street. You'll see the very large windows that were damaged. They're still boarded up on the KCAB building. And those are going to be replaced. And then we're working with a company that we actually selected to do the hardening of the exterior windows and doors on the Molinaro building, Allen Associates. This is a company out of Chicago area. It was going to cost less than 25 grand, so we didn't need to bid the hardening, putting this protective film on. So we went, I think Frank interviewed two or three different suppliers that do that stuff. These guys, that is all they do. For the other contractors we talked to, it's a sideline for them. This is all they do. They did the Daily Center down in Chicago. Pretty much any building in Chicago that needed protection, windows and doors. These guys did it. And they so their reputation kind of proceeded. Anyway, we selected them. They're going to do Molinaro. We're also going to work with them to come up with the process for KCAP, potentially a courthouse as well. They're going to be doing Molinaro, doing the windows on that, starting in July, should finish in August. KCAP, enhanced security transaction windows, so some of the counters, transaction counters in the administration building on the basement level, first floor and second floor. We actually continue to work with an architect to finish the design for enhancing those. Those are just, they have been just open windows, open counters. You come to the counter, make a transaction. There was a desire to have that be somewhat more secure than that based on some of the things that happened last year. So that's what this project is going to be about. We don't anticipate being able to go out to bid for that until September, and then hopefully be able to start construction in October, be a winter project. So that's what's going on with that, and that's kind of the time. So hopefully that answers your question, Supervisor.
So what was the date then for the glass? Do we have a date for the glass here?
So the glass is going to be, the work will start in September with completion in October. Okay. We want to have all that stuff done before the trial starts in November. We want to have all the buildings back to normal. That's the goal.
So let's just make sure we've got our ducks in a row here. The courthouse doors and windows are done. Glass is done.
Done.
But we're taking a look at September for public safety and KCAP to start the glass then, correct?
Correct. Okay. Some of it will happen before then, but I used the long lead. Frank put the long lead items in here, which are the ones for KCAT. Those are the big windows coming.
Now, as far as protective film goes, Allen's been selected to do that, and Molinaro already has an accepted bid for them to do
right. The
reinforcement of the glass.
Yep.
We are still negotiating with them for courthouse, PSC, and KCAT.
Correct. Okay. Yep. Exactly.
Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thank you. And I don't know if I mentioned this at the last committee meeting that we had, but District Attorney Gravely took the time, him and I met, and I was able to go through the Molinaro building and see all the renovations, and it is quite the difference, and he told me to convey that if anybody does want to take a look at that. I went in prior to the renovations starting when his staff was on top of each other, quite literally, I mean, in closets. I don't know who went and saw it, but it was horrible. I was like, they were right on top of each other, and it is quite the difference now. It's great. So he's excited for the next step. But yeah, it looks great. First time I walked in, I was a little confused. So you just go into the left. Now you go straight to the right a little bit.
You don't turn?
Nope. There's a wall there. There's nothing there. It looks great. We went all the way through the building. So good job.
Good.
Props to you guys for that.
Good.
Thank you for the update. Carry on to it.
Okay, Civic Center demo project. I think if anybody's had a chance, the three buildings directly west of the administration building, that demolition was complete. We Energies completed their utility relocation work in June as well, and we're only waiting for, it's always the cable guys, it's Charter Spectrum has to do some work, and then We Energies will come back, remove the utility pole that is still remaining in where those buildings were, and we're hoping then this bleeds right into the next topic, which is the parking lot construction. We got the initial design review back from the city on the 2nd, and we're working to update those, some of the comments that they had on that. And we had aggressively kind of put it here, we're targeting a bid advertisement for 7/14. I don't think, we can advertise it before we get approval from the city, but I think we're gonna wait just to make sure everything is T's are crossed, I's are dotted. So it probably isn't gonna get out to bid until next week. But we're hoping we'll be able to get out next week for sure, because in order for this really to wrap up by October, which is the goal to finish the construction, assuming the bids come in within budget, we really need to get this out on the street for bids pretty quickly. But that's what's going to happen next there. And then KCDC HVAC replacement project. So this is phase one. So the apparent low bidder, we started talking about this already, Southport, they're approximately $500,000 higher than the construction project budget. So their bid came in at $2.17 million versus we had about $1.6 million estimated for the construction budget. We're actually working with them. We're basically looking to see if there is a way we can, within the confines of the law, adjust the scope of the project. And we're working with Matt Fleming closely, our purchasing guy, who knows the purchasing laws inside and out, to see if there's a way we can reduce the scope of the project. We had them bid it in a way that there's modules. There's seven modules that make up this phase one. And so all the bidders had to bid these seven modules. We did that intentionally in case something like this did happen. So we scaled it back to, it looks like if we can scale it back to five of the seven modules, we should be within budget. But we're working with them right now to determine if that's a viable way to go about this. That equipment is still actually available within lead times, because there's a fairly tight window that we have to do this work. We have to do it kind of, not all of it, there's pieces of it that you can do any time of the year. There's other pieces of it you got to do kind of in that transition between cooling and heating in the fall, and then heating to cooling in the spring. And so that's what we're working through right now. So Frank is working with Southport and Dan Fleming to work, and our engineering group, Clark Dietz, so that we can work that out. I'm going to say, cautiously optimistic that we might be able to work it out. If we can't, we may rebid it yet this year by changing the total scope of the project and rebid it, or we may just wait until next year. But it would be good if we could get at least a dent made in this thing, because it's a big project. And if you remember, after we do all these rooftop units that are 22 plus years old, we then have to do the roof. And so there's a lot of money we're going to have to put into the detention center over the next few years. And yeah, so that's kind of it in a nutshell. So that's where that project at. The Kemper water infiltration repairs, that's a fairly small project that Matt's kind of worked with Frank and the engineering team, architect. That low bidder was burgling on that as well. They're targeting that work to begin in August and finish it in September. That's everything Frank's got going on.
Question, Supervisor Berg.
In regards to the HVAC, is this the first time we've bid it out, or have we bid it out in the past?
This is the first time that we've bid this project out, yep.
Okay. And is the increase in the budget, or what was bid, or the cost, is that because of materials out there?
So we unbundled it, and there's if I remember right, the largest chunk of it was materials cost increases relative to what was the engineer's estimate. Second piece was there's a whole layer of additional sophistication to the controls that are needed that the engineer missed. And he admitted, because we dug through it, and there's some state code that applies to certain kinds of detention facilities, and there's certain codes that apply. It's just like when we did Brookside. The HVAC system in that is incredibly sophisticated, because you have to control and zone things. If there's ever a fire somewhere, you want to make sure it's contained and it doesn't get sucked up into the HVAC and bring it somewhere else and start it, spread the fire base. Well, the detention system is actually, in some respects, even more complicated than Brookside in that regard. And what we required for specifications on the control side of that to make sure everything was managed per code was correct per one set of specs, but there was actually another set of specs that's more applicable, and we went to the state just to confirm which one, and they said, yeah, that's these, which resulted in like another $100,000, so that was missed. So that's a piece, but that's why we had a contingency that probably would have covered that. So as materials and labor, those are the two biggest pieces, and this missed piece with the controls specifications.
When we look at the engineers, when we look at hiring the engineers, are we looking at their past history? So for instance, this guy that did the HVAC for KCDC, does he have a background in detentions?
Yeah, we actually did an RFP process before we selected this engineering group, and these guys are actually very, very good, and the fact that they owned up to making this mistake, because not every engineering group will do that. They'll try to bury it on you. And these guys, they straight up, once we pushed and we started to unbundle, okay, why is this thing over what you guys estimated? That was one of the things that came out. And they owned up.
So knowing that they've made a mistake, are they kicking back any? You know?
No, the short answer is no. But we're looking at pulling out all the, because not every module of the seven have this smoke control issue with them. There's only two pieces. Those are the two we're pulling out now, so that we can put those all and repackage those all as a clean bid as for phase two. So that was kind of the way to pull the effects of that control issue out of the first phase. We pull those out, and then we'll package all the stuff that has to do with smoke control, rewrite it all to that specification, and go out for bid. That was planned for next year anyways, the other in, as part of phase two.
So it sounds like just breaking into separate components, part you can do now and part you can do later, and it has to do with budget. That's what it sounds like to me. Mm-hmm. Further questions or comments on this, Supervisor Noodle?
Are they the same people that did the work at Brookside, or
no,
completely different?
Yeah, completely different. The engineering firm, this Clark Dietz, they're out of Kenosha, and we've been using them. We just started using them for a number of our HVAC projects. We went through an RFP process, because the firm we used to use, they got out of that business of doing the engineering, because they wanted us to do Southport. That's who used to do our engineering for HVAC, but they didn't want to do it anymore because they wanted to be able to bid on all our projects. So we said, okay, that's fine. We'll find a new. So we went through a selection process and picked Clark Dietz. I think there was three or four firms that we interviewed. The firm that we used for Brookside was good. They were out of Milwaukee. We solicited a bid from them, but they didn't apply.
So I think we had some problems with them too at Brookside. Not as big, but we had some problems with them.
Yeah, I wouldn't. That one was more complicated. I wouldn't say it was just. I wouldn't say it was totally engineering. It was engineering, construction. There was kind of pieces because it's these things get really complicated, because it's not like the old days where you just turn the thermostat and it's all good. It's the control end of this stuff is really sophisticated, because it takes into account there's sensors on the windows that measure, you know, what the window temperature is, and it gets plugged back in, and it's really, really, it's good because it's efficient, but it's really complicated. That's pretty much everything for me.
Anything else for this particular phase of your report? Seeing none, we thank you for your report, Ray. And I think we're on to parks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First item under the division report is actually, I almost forgot about the reappointment of Supervisor Monica Uhas to the Pringle Nature Center Board.
Move to approve.
Second.
It's moved and second to approve Monica Uhas to the position she currently occupies. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
One opposed? Balance the committee says aye. Motion passes. Youth and governance?
Aye.
All right, I'll move on to the status report for Parks Division. First item is Kemper Center. Wisconsin Emergency Management has requested Kenosha County to submit documents to support a request through Senator Baldwin's office to introduce a 75% funding for the Kemper Center Shoreline Project. This is through the state, the Senate Appropriations Committee. So we are actively engaged in any avenue possible to offset the cost of Kemper Center Shoreline. And we'll just have to basically wait and see as it goes through those federal appropriations and hopefully into law in the near future. Next item is the Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park. Earthwork and base course material on the parkway, Honor Plaza, and multi-use trails is substantially complete. Approximately 3 miles of trails are set to be complete later on this month. And landscaping, concrete work are ongoing due to those favorable weather conditions and keeping this project on schedule, a little bit ahead of schedule. As far as Pike River Restoration Phase 2 and the pedestrian bridge replacement, earthwork, tree removal, in-stream feature installations, and site restoration are actively ongoing. The concrete abutments for the new pedestrian bridge are complete, and we hope to get that bridge installed in July. Although the new pedestrian bridge would be installed, it still would not be accessible with all the other construction amenities going on around that region. As always, you can see the attached Pringle Nature Center reports. And then as far as summer events, just to update the committee on ongoing events,
There was talk earlier before the meeting about our Symphony in the Park. I just printed off a couple pictures of this last weekend's first, hopefully an annual event, collaborating with the Kenosha Symphony Orchestra. Supervisor Franco was there. We were estimating around 1,000 spectators that showed up in the rain, which is remarkable in itself that they stuck around through the weather, but also the community participation with borrowing umbrellas for each symphonic orchestra piece. So they were able to play in the rain and keep their violins and everything else dry. So it was awesome. I brought my family, my parents were there. Just a great showing, great use of the beer garden amenity, wine and cheese pairing. So yeah, we're really hoping that that turns into an annual event for that special event. For other July and August special events, one other one to note is in August, our annual Picnic in the Park event will be on that August 21st over at Petrified Springs Park. And again, we're hoping for a large crowd, great music and fireworks in the evening for that one. And then just as usual, our weekly events are listed down below as well. So that is all I have for the Parks Division report.
Questions for Mr. Mann? Mr. Rodriguez.
Thanks. Picnic in the Park, that's the food trucks and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How many food trucks do you guys have lined up?
It fluctuates just because food trucks are kind of a unique entity in themselves. We're getting better at trying to get them to engage with us based on the popularity of our events.
Right.
So if I had to anticipate, I'd say around 5 to 8 are going to be there at the Picnic in the Park.
So this is with the beer garden, I think, right?
Yes, we partner with the beer garden.
I have several contacts that I can help you with for food vendors.
Please. Yeah.
For Kenosha Public Market. And then also I need another box of the pamphlets for the parks,
mm-hmm.
because we're getting a lot of people from Illinois that are like, they didn't even know we had the money parks. So if you could bring a box to the public market on Saturday, that would be wonderful. Instead of giving them to me,
because
I can't carry it.
If you give them to me, I can do it.
Okay. Yeah, because we're going through them. We went through all the ones you gave me.
We have plenty to go around.
So okay, good.
Sure, remind me after the meeting, Matt, and I'll take them up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Supervisor Berg.
So, Mr. Collins, Picnic in a Park, can food trucks just show up, or do you prefer that they contact you first?
They have to contact us first.
So give them your email address? Or?
Yes, that would be perfect. And we'll put them in touch with the beer garden. We have specific spots for where they go.
Okay, I got a veteran friend and high school friend in Illinois that just opened one up. So I might
perfect.
Supervisor
Hill.
Just a question for Matt. Will you have to check on those trees by the bridge?
Yes, that's ongoing, and we found that it is most likely within the right-of-way for the state's road, Highway 31, so it'll be covered under the state to get those removed, but I did personally inspect those very dead trees, so we're working on getting them removed.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Supervisor Rodriguez.
How were the movies going?
Very good. The last one was The Great Outdoors with John Candy. We had approximately 250 people attend that last Friday. Very good attendance.
Further questions or comments from Mr. Matt Collins? Back to the first point here, Matt. Emergency management through Senator Baldwin. Any rough time frame on when the request will be submitted and when we might see action on it? Any?
We did submit everything through the emergency management. That was due in, I want to say, early July that we sent over all of our final information. And we have not heard anything back. I just read in the Journal Sentinel over the weekend that there's a lot of back and forth through the appropriations and the infrastructure budget. And they have not determined even what package or what bill will be inclusive of. So it's really convoluted.
Oh, so it's part of the current biannual budget?
It very well could be a biannual budget. It could be a separate bill through the infrastructure bill trying to be passed.
Okay.
So they haven't really led on to where that appropriations funding would fall into, either a biannual or
a special. So it's a stay tuned?
Yes, it is.
Any other questions for Mr. Collins? Congratulations on your big turnout. That's fantastic. So many people, despite the weather, turned out. Very encouraging. Thank you for your report, Matt.
Very welcome.
Who do we have next on our agenda? I believe it's Clement of Longmont.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to present my report. I'll start off by, first of all, we have in front of you, you have a resolution to approve a plot plan for the reconstruction of a roundabout at A and Y. Typically, we started this last year. Whenever we have a project, we want to make sure that if we have an issue with the right-of-way acquisition, the court will look favorable on the fact that it was approved by a county board. But usually, I used to approve it by myself, as the highway commissioner, but we found out that it is more favorable if the county board approves it instead of just the highway commissioner. So that's why we are bringing this in front of you for your approval.
So before I get into specifics for the benefit of youth and governance, this would be the intersection which is 22nd Avenue and County A. And it's been a four-way stop, it's been a two-way stop. This is actually going to make an intersection. So during what, next construction season, 2022?
We're shooting for 2022, but the way the schedule is going, it might be a little bit challenging to do it next year. Or we'll probably start it late next year, complete it the following year, but the way the schedule is going right now, it's a little bit uncertain that we'll be able to do it next year. But we are pushing.
And so this, the proposal would be to construct a roundabout there for lower impact in terms of collisions, that type of thing. Has there been any pushback from the adjacent property owners on acquisition of the property for this, right away for this?
We are not there yet. The first step first is to approve the plot, and then we'll complete the design before we can start acquiring the property right away.
So we've got four separate entities. We have the golf course, we have the property owner in the northwest corner, and then the subdivision in the southeast, mm-hmm. and then the farm or grazing land in the southwest.
You got it right.
Mm-hmm. And if I can, it helps me anyways, if you want to look at the pages attached to the resolution, there's always, these plat plans are always set up the same way. So in this case, if you look in the lower right-hand corner, there'll be a plat sheet number, and it's plat sheet 4.02, that lists the owners of the property,
okay.
and then the actual slivers, the amount of property required for the project, and then there's a little map behind that, which is plat sheet 4.03, and then you can kind of take a look and say, parcel number one is owned by Richard and Susan Krause, and it's required 0.56 of an acre. That's the biggest chunk required. And then you can look where number one is. Oh, okay, it's right there, parcel number one. That's the, of that intersection, it would be the southwest corner. That's where they're taking the largest chunk, which there's no houses there or anything. And so that, to understand, at least that's, to me, helpful. That's the first page I flip to when I look at these things, is I flip to those two pages and you can see exactly who owns the property, how much is being needed, and how it fits.
As I believe that's in my district, and I know that the homeowners should be very pleased that this is coming in because it's a very, very dangerous
intersection.
Very.
So, at this point, we can entertain a motion to approve this particular resolution. Sadowski and Tomoville in that order for making the motion, second motion. We can have some discussion before we vote. Supervisor Nudo.
Yeah, I have a question. By doing this, basically, we're saying we're approving the purchase, or just for you guys to start negotiating on that? Would you have to come back then to, you know, with the price, the cost of anything?
Well, typically, for us to acquire right of way, the county has to approve that we carry out that activity. So what you're approving is that the outline of the area that we are going to acquire, you're saying, yes, we should acquire that. And so when we go ahead to acquire, if we have challenges and if we have maybe like a legal challenge, it will show that the county board or this body was aware of it and approved of it, then it would be looked at it favorably, rather than one person approving it. So this, what you're approving is approving the limits of how much I can acquire so that we can carry out that construction of that roundabout.
Okay, but do we have an amount, or is
that's coming?
No, that comes later.
Okay, so that's what I meant. We're approving to buy it, but we're going to have to
acquire. This is the map.
The map.
We're approving the map.
But we're not approving
how much.
How much to buy it. That we have to come to the board.
It'll be part of the project budget.
Okay,
so
that's
the construction piece, the design piece, all
that's fine. That's what I was wanting to make sure.
But what it comes down to is Clement really wants us to back him up.
We'd like to see no one killed at the intersection. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Oh no, I have no problem with it. I just want to know.
So let's go through the mechanics here. So assume that we do pass this evening. Then the next step is go to finance administration.
Yep. Anytime there's land acquisition or a change in land that's county, it has to go to finance as well. Yep.
And then after that, it would go to
full board.
County board.
Just out of curiosity, have we talked to Village of Summers yet? They're in support of this?
Oh yeah. Yes, as a matter of fact, I'll provide that information in the report how we are collaborating with the Village of Summers as far as this project is concerned.
I know the answer.
So
I
have a discussion.
We're going to
do this a little bit differently. But we do think governments should get to vote first on this particular proposal.
Aye.
Aye.
Committee members, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, motion carries.
So thank you for unanimously supporting me. I appreciate it. I'll move straight to the report. The weather in June was generally favorable for maintenance and general operations. We completed about 1.4 miles of paving on county highways. We also paved some roads, town road segments in the village of in the town of Wheatland. While we also did regular maintenance also during this time. That, of course, you know, our general maintenance is like shouldering, mowing, trash pickup, and those kind of activities. We were also actively engaged in state work. We did mainly spot concrete repair on Highway 31. We also did a lot of bridge repair along Highway 50. So generally, we did a significant amount of work because the weather was a little bit favorable. That's what I have for my general operation. Now moving to projects. County Trunk Highway S project, major grading and placement of base aggregate is complete. Fine grading is ongoing. And also, we are currently collaborating with North Point. It's a developer just on the south side across from I-94. They're developing a site there, so we'll be providing, collaborating with them. We'll be constructing their driveway in, their driveway access. But they will be responsible for the total cost for the design, construction management, and administration. We are almost finalizing the agreement between the county and North Point. Paving of the first layer is scheduled for sometime at the end of the month. The project is also on schedule for fall of 2021 completion. Phase two is a little bit ahead of schedule. We've paved the first layer of asphalt between the bridge and County Trunk Highway H. That is the eastbound lanes. Grading is still ongoing on the western part of the project because that's where we are going to be constructing another access for another development, this time Quick Trip, They will be responsible for all the financial implications as far as their driveway is concerned, and all we are doing is facilitating to make sure it's coordinated with the ongoing project on County Trunk Highway S Phase 2. So in that section, grading is still ongoing. The project 2 is also on schedule to be completed in fall of 2021. County Trunk Highway F project, all major grading work is complete. Asphalt paving is scheduled to start next week, with pavement marking and signage installation scheduled to be completed by the end of the month. There's also another piece of this project, which is the County Trunk Highway O and F intersection. The upgrade is complete and the intersection is open to traffic. We still have to do some few minor upgrades at that intersection by painting the nose with the yellow paint and also thinking of other ways of improving navigation through the intersection. We're thinking, but we still want to make sure it meets highway standards. We're thinking of having like stripes to guide people to go to the right direction instead of driving into the wrong direction. But we're still under investigation, and once that is done, we'll make the determination whether to install the striping or not. And just to let you know too, we also have the overhead overhead stop signs, the flashing ones. They do work very well. We've got several positive feedback regarding the fact that we installed it, and they continue pushing to install four of them. Just because they want a four-way stop. I don't know whether they are marrying the flashing or they really want me to stop signing. But again, it's a good thing that we are working with the community and we are having positive feedback. And I think that it goes a long way. And I think that's also the vision and the mission for the department. County Trunk Highway K project. Again, this project is still in the design phase. We are currently making design revision based on DNR's review comments. We are still waiting for the Department of Transportation to complete the review of the environmental document. As soon as the environmental document is completed, the review is completed, then we'll complete the right-of-way acquisition, which we started sometime last year. Construction is still scheduled for summer of 2022. The bike wayfinding project, this project is progressing steadily and it has its own nuances, but it's been going on real good, and we are hoping to complete it by August of 2021. County Trunk Highway A and Y roundabout, I think I should wait for supervisor because he was the one that has the question, but I can skip that and then I'll come back to it when he's around. County Trunk Highway WG Bridge, still in the design phase. Usually when these projects are in the design phase, it's pretty much steady until if we have things like environmental challenges or right-of-way challenges, but we don't have those aspects with this one, and so it's just moving steadily, so it didn't change much. The design is ongoing and still on schedule to be bid sometime in October of 2021. County Trunk Highway H from Illinois state line to 165. Paving and installation of storm sewer concrete pipes are all complete. We had a walkthrough earlier today in order to develop punch list for the paving, since the paving of the main line is already complete. Shoring is scheduled to be complete this week, while the contractor might start pavement marking, or that is striping, next week. Project completion is scheduled for mid-August, and I think the contractor is way on schedule to complete the project by this time frame. County Trunk Highway U and County Trunk Highway Q intersection. Right-of-way acquisition is still ongoing. Utility meeting scheduled for tomorrow. After that utility meeting for tomorrow, we'll be able to determine and finalize the final project schedule, The good news is that most of the critical right-of-way acquisitions, they've agreed on prices, and they've ordered the checks. And in fact, we mailed one of the checks this morning. So as soon as they receive the check and it's closed, then we are very sure that we can really move ahead with utility relocation, because that's what will determine when the project starts, because we cannot start before the utility relocations. So at least today we had positive news that we are moving in the right direction, but generally right-of-way acquisition is generally slow. Okay, so now that you're back, I can go back to
number five.
County Trunk Highway Y and A roundabout. The plat was approved just a few minutes ago. We continue to collaborate with the village. The village has a water main project that is within the limit, the project limits of this project. So we are coordinating very closely with the village to make sure that we construct both of these projects at the same time. Otherwise, we don't want to construct something and they come back to rip it out in order to install the water. So we are doing that coordination. Design is anticipated to be completed by fall of 2021. Construction might start. I always put it summer here, but it might start, but it's not a guarantee if we don't get the right of way in place and the utility relocation. Usually the utility relocation and the right of way acquisition, they can take up to 6, 7, 8 months. So if everything works well, then we might do it next year. If not, I wouldn't be surprised if we start 2023.
Is this the same project, the water main project that the state halted at Summers?
No. Okay, go back to the sketch. So the next one on the agenda is the County Trunk Highway and Bridge. This project started a little bit late and was slow a little at the beginning, but despite all of that, the contractor made a significant gains, and he has actually completed the construction of the proposed structure. That's how fast he's been. And so the forms for the bridge structure were removed today. Contractor plans to start backfilling the sides of the structure tomorrow, that's July 13, and the project is on schedule for completion by mid of August. And the rate at which he's going, I don't like usually giving this information, but since you supported me today, I'm going to give you some information. So the contractor is really ahead of schedule. So he might, if everything goes according to plan, he might be able to complete it by the end of the month.
Then it won't take me a half an hour to get here.
No, it is. So County Trunk Highway H, 93rd Street to Bain Station. We had this very briefly last year. I think it was during the budget, and we approved the budget included the reconstruction of the county trunk, this segment of County Trunk Highway H. This the main reason was to provide access to Kroger, and so you had that information. So it's the same project. Right now we've bid the project, we've opened bids today. And the apparent low bidder is Zegnego, but I didn't want to put any numbers here because we have not verified the accuracy. We are in the process of doing that, and if everything checks out, we are hoping to start this project not later than the first week of August. So so some of the information that I provided last, because we focused on some of this information, were a little bit they need revision, so that's just why I'm giving you the background. So the bids were actually open today and not the 8th, because we had to submit an addendum because of requests from the contractors. They were saying that it was too short, it was too close for them to apply because they were busy as well. So we accommodated that, and that's why we extended the bidding dates to today.
Is
And then County Trunk Highway KR project, this is a DOT project. It's a massive project, but at this stage, they're just doing the same thing, so the report doesn't really change, because they are reconstructing the westbound lanes, and they are reconstructing the bridge, and these are very slow processes. And so the report didn't change as of last month, so they are working on those items. The construction of the bridge over the pike is complete. The county consultant, the bridge consultant, to do the inspections yesterday. He did the inspections, and will probably be completing the inspection sometime this week for us to formally accept the bridges, because we don't want to accept the bridges only when the contractor is gone. Otherwise, if there are issues, then we'll be hooked to repair those issues rather than the contractor who is still there. Highway 50, the reconstruction from 118th Avenue to 43rd Street, the project is progressing in the right, it's progressing on schedule, I suppose. Feedback from the construction team, again, this traffic is still in the inside lane, and they've been constructing pavement, concrete pavement. If you drive through the intersection, you could see some of the pavement right now. And then there are occasional closures on the side street because they are they're also installing storm sewer work. And so again, it might be in this configuration for a while until all the outside lanes are all constructed so that they can switch traffic to the outside lanes. So they will probably be in this kind of this configuration for the next month or two. And then they'll switch the traffic to the outside lanes.
Yes. Wait, what's it going to look like for winter?
Said it again.
What do you think it's going to look like for winter?
Well, as of now, if I understand the project very well, is that at winter time we should be on a new outside lane,
okay,
while they'll be walking in the inside lanes, and the traffic will be much better because the lanes, I think they're bigger. I'm guessing that they're a little bit wider than what it is now, in order to accommodate the big trucks and the traffic volumes. So I'm guessing if they stay on this schedule, then at winter time, they'll be on the outside lanes, and then they'll be driving. And I don't think you'll have site closures, because by then all the storm sewer will all be in at that time. The only thing that might maybe affect some of the traffic will be where they're walking at the intersection themselves. Then they'll have to, you know, stop traffic in order to do the work at the intersection, which probably will be at night,
okay,
and not during the day. Yeah.
Go ahead, Supervisor.
What is the status of meeting with the state regarding Sheridan Road and taking that down to one lane?
I've not scheduled any appointment with them yet, but I did talk to the Village of Somers, mm-hmm, and the Village of Somers, since it's primarily within the village, and the village is taking it, is taking the lead on that.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, I've not followed up with the village.
I can follow up with Stoner,
yeah.
Mr. Stoner.
Yeah, okay. I had a meeting with him, a phone call with him yesterday, but I completely forgot to ask him.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll follow up with him, because I think that would be a detriment to take that down from Carthage College forward to one lane. Thank you.
Okay.
Anything else for highways? Questions, comments? I want to go back to one of the items here.
Yes.
And that is number four, bike wayfinding. We had some poles that were to be removed. What is the status of those poles that were to be removed?
So as of today, they've all been removed, to the best of my knowledge. I would say there were, I think, about, I can't remember the number, but it's about 540, so over 500 something poles. Okay. They've all been removed. And so the good thing was that we salvaged most of them and reused them, because they were long enough. Because if you look at the poles, when they install them without the sign, oh my God, it looks scary because you think it's like 20 feet high.
Right.
But they typically do that because they want to install the sign before they cut it. So even if you cut it when if you remove it, and even if maybe a foot or two is damaged, you can still use them because you still have a reasonable amount of length that you can still use for the poles.
Questions?
Do we have any highway equipment prepped for this weekend's events out in Twin Lakes? Highway signage, road closure, stuff like that?
For you're talking about the county donor?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, we work very closely with them in the planning stage and during the festival. We provide them sweeping traffic control devices. They are responsible for, you know, placing or setting up those traffic control devices because it changes from time to time, and they'll modify it to accommodate exactly what's happening in that area. Now, so we have done all of that, and we are on standby. If they need help, we do provide them message boards from time to time, and we are also on standby if they need assistance from us. We sometimes assist with sweeping as well, but when you start on Wednesday, we'll know how much they need from us. Now, when it comes to the general traffic within the region, we did our best to contact the Department of Transportation last week, and we informed them that it would be wise to reconsider the configuration of the traffic control right now. We recommended that they should, you know, remove the traffic controls in the center of the lanes and bring them to the center, at least for those 3 days when you'll be having about 40,000 people or traffic coming into the area. The Department of Transportation were happy, and they were happy that we gave them heads up, and they decided to work directly with representatives from County Tonda. So I've seen some few modifications because that's how I come to work, but I don't know detailly what major change they're going to make as far as that traffic configuration is concerned.
Okay, thank you.
Let's go back to item number two, counties F and O. You were saying that's been signalized with stop signs, is that correct?
It's stop signs, it's not signalized. It's stop signs with flashing lights.
Okay, and it is two-way stop or four-way stop?
It's two-way stop.
Two-way stop. Meaning that O is the predominant road and F is the secondary road.
Correct.
So these stops currently are on
F.
Flashing stops for F only. And this is the elevated ones you were speaking of?
Yes.
Okay. Clear on that. Any other questions for Mr. Clement?
I had just one point left. Anyway, we talked about it, and that is Highway 50 west of the I. Again, they're still in. Inside, they're still on one lane, on the outside lane, and I think based on the information we're getting from the Department of Transportation, that it's going to stay like that till October.
Anything further for highways? Good, seeing none, thank you for your comment.
Thank you.
Mr.
Just a few things to ramp up. As we talked about tonight, we continue to monitor our project bids. We're using the information gathered to refine project planning. It appears like the small to medium-sized civil projects, the smaller, like the project Matt's got going on at Vets Park right now, those bids came in favorable this year, primarily as civil projects. So there's not a lot of construction materials involved. Those things came in pretty competitive, had a decent turnout for bids, and got some good bids. Whereas the building-related projects are definitely affected by everything that we're reading in the paper and seeing on the news every day, as far as commodity prices impact on construction materials, as well as availability for those construction materials. Now, we're seeing lumber has started to come back down, and it's likely the same is going to happen with some of the other commodities as those supply chains get straightened out, however that happens. We're just keeping an eye on stuff to see what makes sense to do now versus put off to later, and And the crystal ball is pretty foggy, let's just say that. But we're looking at all that stuff to make some good, hopefully make some good decisions on projects we propose for next year's budget as well. That's pretty much that. June weather, you know, was still better than average, from a drier than average, and so we pretty much in all the departments from an operations standpoint as well as a project standpoint made pretty good headway. Of course, Country Thunder starts this week.
Wednesday.
Next week.
So we should have storms.
Next, yeah, we will have storms, and so that will start the rainy season, the official end of the drought. The design process with the Sheriff's Department Joint Services and IT staff out here for repurposing the former UW Extension Suite and providing ADA access to the second floor, it continues to progress. Based on conversations with the county clerk and IT, we were going to need to expand the server room that's a part of that, is kind of backs up into the elected officials area. We're going to need to expand that a bit. And part of that conversation, then we got involved with all the elected officials, mainly the county clerk. She's really going to want, based on everything that's happened from an election standpoint, and looks like now the new normal as it relates to elections, she's going to need to have a secure room to keep everything for all 100% of the time. What they used to have was they had just an empty conference room where they kept all the election equipment in there in between elections. It was fine, but it doesn't appear that's probably going to be past the tests required now going forward. So while we're looking at this, we're going to look at to see if we can create that space within their footprint of what they got out here, just so we can get that checked off our list so that our elections remain impeccable going forward, and everything is done to the most correct and current standards. So let's see, we're targeting having schematic level plans by September 1st so we can have budget estimates for that project included in the 22 budget. Let's see, the other thing I wanted to mention is at next month, if we have some luck, we've been working with a consultant to help us develop for Highway S, Highway H, Highway E, kind of the three most prominent development corridors right now that are taking place that haven't already been addressed by, like Pleasant Prairie, there's development going on there, but they've got things, they're pretty advanced because they've been a village for so long. Whereas stuff taking place in Summers, a lot of that stuff is happening faster than everybody's able to come up to speed. As we improve those roads, we want to make sure that we develop a master plan for access as development occurs, so that we map out where we want access to safely occur on those new roadways, so we don't end up with putting in access kind of sporadically or without a strategy, and pretty soon before you know it, the nice road that we just built that was designed to make travel very efficient and safe becomes very cluttered and unsafe. And so with a little luck, we're planning on bringing that master plan for that access to the committee in August. So we're hoping that Clement's laughing, but that's what we're hoping to do. So I just want to give a heads up that that's going to be something, it should be pretty interesting.
That'll be for those three roadways.
Right, we're going to start with those three roadways, and then we're going to do a master plan for the entire county, for all of our county roads, so that and the consulting firm we brought in, this is kind of their shtick. This is all they do. And they're so used to getting brought in on the back end when there's lawsuits and everybody's fighting with everybody. And then they have to come in and kind of straighten it out. So when Clement called them to do this on the front end, they're like, nobody ever does this. This is how you're supposed to do it. So we're hoping that we're going to be able to do something that'll work well and get out ahead of and hopefully avoid a bunch of problems down the road.
It's proactive.
Summers is on board. Summers is aware of this.
Say that again.
Summers is on board. They're aware of it.
Yeah, typically how the process works is that you work with the local community. Yeah. So we schedule meetings with Summers and the city and the village of Pleasant Prairie for this first phase, but only the village of Pleasant Prairie couldn't make it. But at the same time, the section that is in the village of Pleasant Prairie is so small that it's okay for now if they are not present. So.
Good, so we'll look forward to that for next month, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
And then just we're in the middle of starting to pull together budget stuff. June was kind of, We're getting knee-deep into it as we move into July, and we'll get deeper into it, but everybody's actively involved in the 22 budget process, and that's pretty much it.
So just a quick question for Matt. How did the 4th of July go out at Silver Lake?
Fairly well. We've made some operational changes based on the pandemic last year that sometimes you get lucky that you have to, because of a pandemic, change how you do things. And I think that paid dividends as far as the ease of our operations going into future years, as far as just the County Highway F off of where Silver Lake entrance is, utilizing highway equipment for traffic mitigation, and what our max capacity truly should be for those events, so it's not turning into a free-for-all. So communication was alive and well, customers were happy once they were there, and it eased our operations. And we still made a fairly successful profit margin. Wasn't sure as fast.
Was there a certain time that Silver Lake got filled up?
I want to say around probably the noon to 1 o'clock hour. Typically
built up. Once the overflow go to Old Settlers? I mean, necessarily.
Yes, that's what we typically do, is we lead people back east again to Old Settlers, and that's a second area that they fill up and optimize that.
In terms of a couple items for budget going forward, Ray, we know that we're going to have to do some amount of probably at least maintenance type things to the job center. You know, that's a campus that, as you all know, it's rather aged, and it's been built kind of in a piecemeal fashion. There's older parts, there's new parts, and as long as we're going to maintain, you know, management, landlording of that, we're going to have a plan. And then I know that we've had a master plan for roofs in the past, and we're going to do so many roofs this season, next season, and so forth. So maybe we can bring some of those together for our next meeting and have a little conversation about.
Yeah, we're kind of in the home stretch on the roof stuff. It's really the detention center.
Detention center is next.
Is the biggest
job center, maybe.
That's the big elephant in the room.
Yeah, the job center
would be, yeah, it's in there. It's out a little bit, but yep. And the job center, we do have that complete analysis that Insight Architectural put together for us. So we could bring that back as just kind of a prep for budget conversation, we could bring that back.
I would
back
think not necessarily the whole item for review, but the ones that would be pertinent for maybe these upcoming budget years.
Okay.
2022, 2023, should start looking at that.
Got it.
Yep. We'll do.
We'll do.
What is our attendance look like in the parks versus last year at this point in the summer?
I just actually was reviewing those numbers. We're, I would say maybe a little bit down, not by much, but last year we saw about a 25% increase from one year to another. Probably somewhere with golf, I mean, that was an all-time right. high as far as not having anything else to do. But we're still pretty far up from, I would say, even 5 years ago with the numbers. So
we're still riding that wave then of newcomers to the parks?
I would say so, especially now that we have pavilion rentals. We're on par for around 200 events and activities through the park system this year alone. So I think that offsets, even now that we can do more programming and allow for more purposeful events and planning, that it still is bringing in a lot of new customers.
Good.
So unless there's anything else, I'm taking a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I'd like to excuse for my